Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 106, Michael Goldberg. Michael is a designer slash artist, you know, really handles a lot of the design side, and him and his partner have a company where they offer a lot of services, you know, photography, design. But what I appreciate most is the depth of thought that goes into things. I don't think of it as deeply as these guys do. And hence the reason, you know, probably my sales aren't as great as they could be. And we spend some time on it in this segment, and you get to know them a little bit better, and I think it'll give you some great perspective. Let's get into the interview. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest is a service provider. I mean, he's a seller, don't get me wrong. He's a seller deep at heart, knows it, and that's the value of having someone who's in the service business who is or was a seller, and especially a successful seller, because you really want to have some confidence. You don't want to go to the gym and have a very heavy trainer teaching you how to get healthy, right? So Michael Goldberg is partners in a company where they offer photo services, but much more than that, because it's actually a design. It's really an art form. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Stephen, for having us. Me.
Having you. Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. Your partner couldn't make it, but that's okay. You know, you can hang. I think you're interchangeable in some ways. So tell me about, you know, just in brief, because we're going to get in deeper, but I just want to hear the general service of what you guys do is what?
Well, the core business of how we started was product photography and private label photography.
Okay, and you did that for Andy, and the pictures. I mean, I remember, because I've done a bunch of stuff with Andy, and I remember, you know, him using his iPhone and taking a picture, and it was good, and taking a little background out. But then, I don't know if it was the straw, I guess I shouldn't say that. I don't think I should say that. All right, let me pull it back. I've done work with Andy, and I've seen a bunch of his stuff, and I remember him taking a picture with his iPhone and taking the background out. It was good. I mean, it was good. But then he had you take a picture of a product, I'm not going to name it, and it was like, oh my God. I mean, it was night and day, and his was good. You know, I think compared to eBay, his was really good. And then all of a sudden, you're like, holy cow, that is what. You know, I guess I always think about those companies that, you know, take a picture of ice cream, and it's not really ice cream, but they make it look like
it's mashed potatoes.
Right. And it blew my mind to actually see one, and I'm thinking, oh my God, all right, I get it, why you would pay somebody, because there's a cost, this isn't a free service. And it blew my mind, and it was with you guys, and I was stunned. Was he your first client outside of yourself?
Yeah, like, so my best friend, who, you know, I've known for like 20 years now, and, you know, we were each other's best men at a wedding, and he's like this photo nut. And, you know, he got me into photography maybe a year or two ago, and he had this whole studio, and I went to ScanPower, I think it was the second ScanPower, like about a year ago at this point, and I bumped into Andy, and, you know, that was my first year selling. I was maybe 6 months in or something, and I didn't know anything about private label, and he's just talking to me about photography, and I'm just like, you know, that's just, like, right up my alley. And I called my friend that night, and I said, like, listen, this is something we got to do. Like, you have the setup, I have the artistic background, you have the technical background, this is going to work great, trust me. And that's kind of, like, how we got into it, you know, the beginning of the whole company.
All right, so let's talk about artistic background. Now tell me what that means.
So I studied I studied illustration and animation at Parsons in New York City, which is like one of the top few art, you know, top 5, 10, whatever art schools in the country. And I studied.
Were you always going to be an artist? I mean, was that the way it was going to be?
Yeah, I didn't know any better. I did art. I didn't know anything about making money or doing anything.
I mean, are you the guy that can draw the freehand pictures and that? What kind of art do you do?
Oh yeah, I'm a classically trained like portraitist. I do. So like,
okay.
I mean, and I'm more, you know, one of the benefits, I guess, of kind of working with us in general is that like I'm kind of a self-taught artist. Like I went to school for a year or two, but it wasn't what I wanted to learn. You know, I really wanted to study classical realism. So you know, in learning how to do it, I had to like dissect like composition, form, old master paintings, and like really like not just copy it, but I had to understand how it worked. And like I translate, you know, I'm able to translate all that study of like composition and depth and color and, you know, and bring that into photography. So like, you know, when we're doing a shoot, especially like a more complex one, Chris is behind the camera and he's doing all the technical details, you know, getting the focal points perfect and, you know, like getting the lenses great and like adjusting the lighting. And I'm sitting there like playing with the images and, you know, or not images, playing with the products and arranging the compositions. And so like, you know, it's really like a unique blend because I was actually talking to someone earlier today is that when you're an artist or a writer and you write or you draw or you paint, like you have one perspective, right? And you're never able to catch those mistakes because your brain like only works in like that one way.
It wouldn't be a mistake if you knew it, yeah, right?
Exactly. So, you know, where Chris and I really come into play is like, we always play off each other. Like he'll see something I don't see, I'll see something that he doesn't see, and you know sometimes we'll like do photos, and he'll be and he'll call me and like, listen, these are not like up to our level. We got to redo them, you know. And like it'll look fine to me, but it won't hit that quality. And I made him do that the other day too. And you know, it's that feeling that you're like, oh, I got to do this again. But you know, it's just we work till we get it at this like pristine level, you know, that becomes acceptable to both of us.
Well, you know, in the pre-interview, we were talking a little bit, and you know, and I'll point you to his website, and we can talk about cost. But this is not – somebody shouldn't hire a company – well, I shouldn't say that because you can also get training, right? You're going to teach me by me – just like you learned from your friend, me using your service, I will learn things. So I shouldn't say that. But generally speaking, if you're buying onesies to my Target end cap – I always quote Target end cap, right? It's not a good idea to hire a photographer for a one-time event, for a one photo, for a Target end cap item. That's just silly, right? You know, you're going to make, oh, $15. Well, you're going to pay these guys $50 or $30, depending on the scale, right? It makes sense, though, if you have a great quality wholesale product that you're going to have a long-term solution to. It's really great if you get exclusive with them and they're not really into it. They have crappy photos and you can take and make their product that much stronger. Andy says it all the time. The picture sells his product. He says it all the time. He says, oh, I got the keywords and all the rest of that jazz, but the pictures are what sells his products. He believes that to his soul and you can't argue with the success. Talk about who your normal client is.
Our normal client ranges a lot, honestly. You got some people who are brand new to this, some who are experienced. They're probably launching, you know, they're launching their first or second private label product, and a lot of people come to us where, like, they've had work done and they just weren't happy with it, and then, you know, they see our stuff and they, like, want, you know, we just had some guy do it in a food niche, which, you know, I'm a really, you know, honest up front, and I said, well, listen, if you're going into this food niche, you're going to have to drop like $15,000, $20,000. You know, this was even before I did shots. I said, if you don't have this capital, I would probably advise not even spending the money on this because, like, you're in a very competitive food niche. You're going to have to do a ton of giveaways. You're going to have this listing, like, pristine. You're going to have these photos pristine, and all this is capital intensive. So, like, a lot of the people – and. So that's kind of like one client, you know, like a new.
But that's an extreme. But, I mean, that's a real person who's going to create a real business with that product line.
Exactly. And then that was an example of wholesale where the manufacturer was just like, you know, like heads in the air, not even paying attention really. And these people are coming in and doing great shots and great listings. And, you know, they're gonna kill it when everything's said and done. And we literally just finished it and they were just like, okay, here's the next one.
Wait, before we leave that one, because I want to make sure I get this. So in that scenario, kill it means they're going to sell a lot of it. How long does it take back to get back that 15, 20 grand? And that's not only your cost, that's all the cost. But I mean, how long does it take, would you say, depending on what it is?
I don't know. This was a very competitive food niche, which I really don't have a lot of experience. You know, I just know based, you know, what I do is we did the listing for this client as well. So when we do listings, we do like in-depth research on competitors, you know, and I could see by the competitors, some of them have 500, 1,000 reviews, you know, and at a very close price point to what they're doing. And at that point, you know, I know just from my own private label, to get that product moving, you're going to have to do, you know, 200 giveaways, you know, in the course of like a few weeks, and just keep it moving and moving. And, you know, at a $20, $30 price point, you know, let's just say it's a $13 to $15 cost of goods, right? And 20, mm-hmm. 30, 200, 300 giveaways, you know, you're looking at, you know, $6,000 or $5,000 in cost of goods just out the door on top of review fees and, you know, the review service fees as well and Amazon fees.
And all the setup and all the rest of this stuff. So I think your advice was sound to say, hey, don't go into it buying, you know, 100 pieces and invest this much time and energy and expect to get giant results. You really do have to set it up for success. But that's how these products, when you see these people saying, oh, I just sold my first 1,000 units this month. And you're like, what? You know, but they put a lot of time and effort and energy in for that success. And Andy's a good example of that. You know, he has your service. He's been using you guys. He's using his company in China to do the research, you know, and all these little pieces are expensive. He spends a lot of money and a lot of time, but he doesn't have to worry about it. Here's what it is. You've proven to him that you guys will do it to this level. And so that completely takes that off his plate. That's a big deal.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's really hassle-free service. Like, you just don't. I think I literally had, in the past year, I had one client had an issue with one photograph, and that was because they were expecting something completely different than the written contract. And even at that point, we went out of our way to, like, really make it well. You know, like, they were
right,
expecting
to make it right.
A leg, and it was an arm, and it was clearly, contract was, like, Photoshop with arm. You know, like, because we're very, I mean, my partner is an incredibly detailed technical writer, so like our contract is like down to like the, you know, it's like product one shot, you know, shot one is a composite of product one, product two, forward facing with bag and logo. I mean, literally, that's like the level of detail we write in our contracts.
Well, let's talk about that. What's it take for you, you know, you're shooting my coffee mug, right? I'm drinking coffee right here. It's just simple. You just put it up on a piece of, on a desk, take your iPhone out, right, and take a quick picture. Is that easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You think so, right?
Well, that's the point. So I want to say this because I just want to make sure people get this, right? So we're talking that one picture, right, which I don't know how anybody would do that, but you guys do photography, design, listing, copy, and video, right? So you offer all those things. But you put your prices right here. Oh, God, that picture is incredible. Oh. 1 to 4 photos, $65, all the way down to 100 photos for $30, okay? The prices are quoted are per photograph, not per product. So, you know, what's a good listing have in photos? How many? My coffee mug.
Probably like a coffee mug without any like bundling, and it's just like one coffee mug. I would probably say like 4 images could get away with.
Right, so that's $260 if you buy 1 through 4. Okay, so you got to get that in your head.
Well,
that's a cost of doing business, and it's not.
I want to take it back a step because I always tell people up front is the prices aren't misleading, but those are for basic shots. Like coffee mugs are reflective. You know, if you're working with coffee mugs, you're going to be working with coffee. And if you've ever tried working with liquids, you have to pour it perfectly. It has to sit there. Like when you pour it, it sometimes goes up a little on the cup, right? So you don't have an even ring line. Then you have to go in around and clean. Like these are like the insane level of details because like that camera, like the pictures we take can pretty much be blown up to like, you know, like 10 feet. And you're going to see every little detail. So, you know, like to get that picture of that mug, we usually end up doing like 6 to 8 shots per image, right? That you don't even know about. We take that and then like, let's say shot one's got a great shadow in one spot and shot two's got like the front view of it great. We will then like composite all 6 of those shots into one Photoshop image. So that way it looks real, but it looks almost like beyond perfect. And that's the idea. And I'm sorry.
Well, no. I was going to say, I saw you do that down at ScanPower this last conference. You took so many images of that thing and then put them together, and all of a sudden, it made it look almost 3D. I mean, like I'm looking at out on your website under services, there's a picture of, it looks like a dust mop or something
like
that. It's incredible. The detail is incredible that you can see on that.
That was funny. We stuffed that with a you know, the air cushions that you ship with.
Right. Again, you wouldn't think that that's necessary because on eBay, let me tell you, I can't think of how many tens of thousands of photos I've taken for eBay. You do none of those things. And I'm sure my results marry the effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do okay, but I'm not crushing it. And it's because I'm not putting the effort and energy into it that you're describing here. I mean, it's just incredible to me.
Yeah, really. I mean, people like just, you know, and it's a process. It's not just like we're not a factory. You know, we literally sit there and we go, can we adjust the, you know, because when you take a picture, you have to look at it and you go, okay, well, where are the shapes pointing? Where are the angles pointing? Where are the lines pointing? Are they pointing to the buy box? Are they making the viewer's eye go out of the picture? Are they, like, are you focused on, like, the main area? Is this too dark? Is that too light? You know, can we fix this in post-production or do we really have to get the lighting perfect now?
And I guarantee you, most of us are not thinking about that. Because one of the values of selling on Amazon when you start out is you're selling books or whatever you got into, right, is that the listing's there. Somebody else already has the photo. You just grab it and move on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of it, right? Not like eBay where I have to take my own pictures, create the listing, and all that jazz. The beauty of Amazon is most of that stuff is done for you. But that'll take you so far. And in fairness, a guy like David Hawkins will do many millions doing just retail arb, not creating his own listings, you can have success with that. However, if you're going to get into wholesale and you're going to rep a company that is okay, but you want to make them incredible, or if you want to get into private label or bundles, you really need to step up your game. Is that the place where your services really start to stand out?
Yeah, well, that's really the only place. You know, you're not going to use us for our retail or online arbitrage unless you have, like, you know, it just becomes a math equation, really. And that's, I mean, what I tell, because a lot of people ask me every now and again, oh, I bought all these shirts. And I'm like, well, how many shirts do you have? They're like 30. I'm like, well, you're going to spend like $200 to $400 at like bare minimum. You know, like if you're making 10 bucks a shirt, like that doesn't make sense profit-wise. Like, it's you know, you need to factor it into the equation. If you're doing private label or wholesale and you have a product that's going to last you an entire year at minimum, right, and it's going to net you, let's say, $10,000, then to take, you know, a tenth of that budget or 5% of that budget of profit and invest it to make the sales happen quicker and faster, then that makes a lot more financial sense.
And again, Andy would say the photos sell the product, period. And I know the products he sells, and I think about them compared to other ones who have been there longer, and he's able to go into that market because of all the energy and effort into these small details because, you know, people got their listing up. That's what their goal was back then, right? Just get a listing up. They were the only one on Amazon. Well, that's not true. Now, there are other people selling these dust mops, and we'll use that as the example because I'm looking at it on your screen. So the way you stand out is through wording, and, of course, people are visual, so photography. And, you know, it's funny listening to you talk about, is it pointing to the buy box? That's really a psychology thing. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so, again, like in my training of, like, you know, like classical realism, there's, like, a whole mess of psychology. And I'm, like, just skimming the surface. You know, there's people that just spend their entire lives, like, studying compositional and color psychology and, you know, so, I mean, but there's really two main things you want to focus on as far as Amazon shots go. Is it you either want a center-focused photograph where, like, everything's pointing or moving the viewer's eye towards the main object, or you want something that's going to push the eye out to the buy box. Because anything else is, you know, anything else is either not focusing on the product or not focusing on them buying the product. And, I mean, this is something I push a lot, and I say, and I get the book we'll talk about, is that, like, the one key element that just I tell everyone is the one takeaway from anything, from design, from painting, from package design, from is that every element means something. Whether you want it to or not, it's like even the negative space around an element means something. You know, a lot of negative space, you know, a lot of white space or negative space, it gives an airy feel. But, you know, less negative space makes it more condensed. And there's automatically like a subconscious reaction to that. And that's what you need to think about in your photos. Like, you know, where is the negative space? What is it showing? Does it fit nice? Like, where are all the shapes and lines going? Because everything means something. You know, like if you, again, like the rainbow shape is like a frown. You know, it's an upside down circle. Mm-hmm. You know, again, obviously you see a rainbow and you see colors and it's like happy. You know, you don't associate that with a frown. But if you saw your products arcing like a rainbow, right? That's like all the forms come together and create the shape of a frown. And whether you're aware of it or a person who is aware of it when they're looking at it, it subconsciously goes, well, that's like an unhappy shape. I automatically associate that with someone being sad.
Man, you blow my mind. You just, you know, again, to think about, you know, as a business owner, right? So here I am, I work so hard to find this product and get it created for me and get it developed. Now I'm bringing it over here. I got to start thinking about marketing it. I got all these responsibilities. And now I've got to know all these details about, you know, because again, if I'm going up against Andy, he's already paid somebody to be the expert to do all that stuff. So if you're doing it yourself, you now have to become an expert in all these things to compete, correct?
Yeah, and well, actually, when clients work with us for design, I make them do their homework too. Because I, you know, what I found is when you don't know what you want, you know, if you just think, oh, hey, man, I just want a cool-looking logo or
yeah, like, it's my coffee mug. Yeah, just take an easy picture. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, here's my coffee mug. Make me a logo. You know, like, of what? You know, like, well, do you want a happy mug? Do you want like a caffeinated logo? Do you want an excited logo? Do you want it calm? You know, like it's brewed and slow brewed, or, you know, like what do you? So I make all my clients fill out a form that gives me like descriptive adjectives and reference images, and some of them have a lot of hard time because like they don't want to do it, but I know to get the ideal results from clients is like, I need you to find a logo or an image or a font and just give it to me and tell me what you like about it and tell me why you see this as part of your logo.
So you don't disappoint them because you now kind of got in their head and you know, hey, this is what they were thinking, and if it makes sense, you're able to give them kind of what they've been thinking. So what's the general reaction when you do that?
I've yet to have anything, you know, I mean, on top of which I'll go into like our system of designing in a second, but you know, it also at that point, a lot of times with design too is you don't know what you want till you see what you don't want.
Yeah.
So like at that point, it really becomes very empirical because it's, you know, the client gives me what they're looking for, and then I'll design it, but. You know, like if you go to Fiverr or you go to any other like lower end designer, and not like lower end, like lower priced, you're not getting communication. So like if you say, okay, well I'm doing a chewing gum product, but I want it to look like lightning. You know, my first reaction was, listen, you're telling me two different things. Like chewing gum is bubbly and soft and fluffy and big and pink and, you know, bright colors, and you're telling me you want like a black lightning bolt. You know, maybe if it's like caffeinated gum or something, but like what you're telling me is disjointed, and I go back and I'll let them know. I said, this doesn't make sense. Can you clarify what you're saying, or maybe you mean something different?
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear more about the process. You know, what's the process of me bringing a product? Because I'm blown away when I go out and look at your website and I'm looking at the portfolio and I'm looking at the incredible photos. It's so worth going to look at these. I can't wait for people to get to see this stuff because I knew a lot of what you guys were doing, but I am absolutely blown away. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com. For more information, that's SellerEssentials.com. Okay, smart dude. A lot of details here. And in this segment, we really get into a lot of details about all the things that you really need to consider. And, you know, I guess hearing him say it, it's kind of overwhelming. But again, The key is your competitors are doing all these things. The ones who are really doing well are doing these things. The big mega companies, the reason they do it is they have whole divisions that do this stuff. So if you can get a service like this, and you know, you could say to yourself, oh, $50 or down to $30, depending on what level, that's a lot of money. Not if you're selling a zillion items and you think about how, you know, how much each one, it adds X cent cost to each one, and you sell them that much faster. Man, that's an awesome service. We get into the book. I'm really excited because I am such a huge Brianna Moeller Greene fan, and to have her and Michael get together on this, it's going to be great stuff. And, you know, think about if you want to understand better your product, you want to understand how markets work, this is the kind of stuff. It's $15. $15. This is tuition. You've got to invest in your business and invest in yourself. Let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Michael Goldberg, and we're talking with him about, you know, deeper than just taking pictures, right? We're really talking about a lot of psychology around the photos, around the design, and conveying that. Me, who wants to hire you, I have to be able to help you understand what I'm thinking, I'm looking for. You, as the designer, have to help me get that or maybe something better. Because, like you said, a lot of times it's, I think I want this. I know I don't want this. And seeing it now, I know, yeah, that's right, I don't want this. I don't want this. And we end up somewhere. And I'm looking at how thoughtful this stuff is put together. So let's talk through, a bundle, how it comes about. You know, I bring you a product idea. Hey, I got this product. I want to hire you guys. Walk me through the process.
Let's say you come to me a bundle with like four or five products, and you know, I guess with a bundle, my first question would be like, what are you packaging? You know, do you have a set package? Is it a basket? Is it a box? You know, like how are you presenting the product? You know, which impacts how we're going to photograph it. With bundles, you always...
Let's use this one because I'm looking at a basket on your website. So it's a basket filled with a couple toys and some candy.
Oh, so yeah, that was the Easter bundle we did.
Right.
And
I think that's a good example, though, of how would that... So are you going to say, Steve, what are you going to put that in? Are you putting that in a box? Obviously, it's going to have to go in some kind of box. Is it... Well, let me ask this question. This picture is stunning. How do I, as a seller, give the ability for the customer to, because that's what they're expecting it to look like, right?
Yeah, well, typically a photo process starts this way, is I tell someone just to send me their competitor's link. You know, like, who are you competing against? Let me see what they're up against. And that one is, they'll be able to let me know how different their product is or not. Like, they could just say, well, it's the exact same thing, except I'm doing this a little different. Or I'm including this other product. So I'm bundling, like, product A, B, and C, and here are the links. So you can really see. And, you know, again, being an artist and a trained artist, I can kind of almost envision it in my head to an extent, you know, mm-hmm. of, like, how to lay it out as best as possible. You know, again, like, you have to figure out when you have a bundle, the most important thing is you need to figure out, like, your key product, you know, or your one or two main products. Like, what's going to bring everyone in? What are, like, people interested in? So, you know, if it's, like, if you got, like, a bath bundle, you need something, like, either a brand name recognition or something that looks really cool, or, you know, like, if it's a see-through container and it's, like, you know, like, those, like, colored soaps, those look, like, gorgeous when you photograph them because you have this... You could do, like, lit from behind and have it almost, like, glowing.
Yeah, translucent, yeah.
So, like, you just really have to figure out what's going to work together. You know, like, what are you trying to sell, really? You know, because a lot of times, you know, people will send me stuff and we'll get it, and I'll see, you know, I've called clients. I don't even know how many times. I go, like, listen, I go, this stuff is banged up. It's just, like... The manufacturing is terrible on this. I will do my best.
But you will see it. I mean, I'm looking at this picture of the basket, and I blew it up. You see every detail. So if there's a flaw, it's going to show.
Exactly. So our general rule is we make things about 20-25% better than they are. You know, that way, like, it's still – like, I mean, because, you know, if you got this piece of junk, like, water bottle that's, like, manufactured with scratches. Like, I can make the thing look gorgeous, but you're just going to get a million returns when everyone gets it and sees all these scratches. So, like, if you're going to give me something, I make a phone call and I go, listen, this is all going to show. I'll make it look a little better, but if I make it look too good, it's silly. It's like looking at those magazine covers of, like, models and stuff, how they're all, like, beyond Photoshopped, and it's just like a plastic doll.
That's funny. Okay, so send you my stuff. You start to – are you recommending at that point
how
to put it together?
I don't let anyone send us anything without a fully without a contract signed with the complete shot list. So you'll come to me and go, okay, well, this is my bundle I'm doing, like product A, B, and C. And then I'll come back to you and go, this is what I think we should do. Shot one is going to be like this. Shot two is going to be like this. And then, you know, and again, each shot is highly detailed. Shot two is going to be an elevation front with two of the products next to each other and something else. Shot three is going to be a composite of your product and a stock photography, and it's going to look real. It's going to look like we shot it on site. So I'll go through the full list with, like, the links to the stock photography and everything. That way, you know, because, again, like, I think you're thinking like everyone else is, like, oh, they'll just make it look good, you know, like without – I'll just send it to them. They'll make it look good, and there'll be no issues. And right. On my end, there's always issues without – like, we don't – have issues now because, like, look, this is our shot list, this is what we said we're doing, and we deliver it every time because it's clearly in writing what we said we're going to do. And if there's questions ahead of time, then you ask me. You say, well, what does this mean? And then I'll explain it, or I can show an example of something else. Like, I know I had this one art product with, like, 100 different, like, pieces to it, you know, like different colors of the product. And I literally had to – I did a real quick graphic layout. I said, this is how we're going to shoot it, and they didn't understand it. So I literally, like, went on Photoshop in a minute. And I said, look, this is graphically how it's going to look and lay out. And they went, oh, okay, I understand it now. It makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Again, the image helps tell that story, right? I like the way you describe it. Your product images are your online business card. They really are. Have you seen any studies showing, or do you have data that would tell us how much better sales go with better photography?
I could tell you my own product story. I mean, my own private label is.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So we were selling in a beauty niche, and the standard shot, I guess, of the main competitors was just, you know, like, you know, a naked model from the back holding the product, right? You know, so you see the naked, like, woman with the product, and then, you know, you have the product composited into the side of the image. You know, so the woman's on the left side holding the product, and then the product from, like, you know, like a close-up view would be on the right side. And it just wasn't moving. It wasn't moving. And, I mean, it was okay. And then we ended up doing, like, reviews, and, I mean, we did the whole process. And it was kind of moving. Excuse me. And, you know, maybe, like, it was bounced between 20 and 50K in rank and beauty. And, you know, we were about to give up on it, and we did, like, one last review blast on it. And I said, you know what, the thing about this product is that we had double the quantity of anyone else for, you know, maybe only a dollar or two more. So if everyone else was selling, like, one or two for $8 to $10, for 13, we were selling, like, double the quantity plus, like, all these other things. So we actually I got rid of the model picture, and we did just a straight, like, graphic layout. So we took, like, the image, you know, a real nice image, and we did, like, a four-up layout with the two bonus things that came, and we upped the price $2, and at that point it was like going at like $11.50 or something, and we upped the price to, I think it's $13.45 now, and it's consistently selling, like, let's just say 6 to 10 a day. You know, a product that we were kind of gonna give up on, and for all, and really, now I'm not gonna say it's 100% the images, but I guarantee the images combination with the reviews we did the Zon Blast and had a huge impact on it.
And so that translates to profit.
Yeah.
Period,
like,
right? Because you already bought the product. It's sitting somewhere. And if you're – what were you selling prior to the 6 to 10 a day?
I don't know, like 1 to 2 maybe at a lower price point too. You know, we were selling those at like $11.50, so maybe we're getting like a 30, 40% ROI when we calculated it to sell at like a $13 to a $15 range. So now we're at like a 70 to 80 ROI, and they're selling, you know, again, 60.
You got velocity.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately the name of the game. I mean, you have to be profitable, of course. But that velocity allows you to turn so much quicker, you can continue to adjust and adjust and adjust. What would be your next thing that you'll look at to enhance that product?
It's always the listing, because the listing text is just, when you go out there, like, the listing text is just so poorly written out there. Even, like, how the title's assembled, the bullet points, like, the keywords are not put in right, and no one, you know, everyone's always using the word, like, everyone's always talking about, features and not benefits, and they're using the word like we and you, and you know, like, you buy this and it'll be great, you know, like, you know, really, like, bad call to actions at the end, and it's just terrible. Like, there's just so many poor listings out there with text, and like I know me and my partner, like, I'm sure you do too. I buy on Amazon all the time when I need stuff. If I look at something and it's just not right, I move on, because I know, unless it's like a specific product I know that I buy outside of Amazon, like physically, that I know, like, I use. But for the most part, if I'm looking for something and I see that, all I see is it screams at me that this person did not spend the money to do it right, and that means they don't have the capital to do it right.
Well, it makes you wonder what else is wrong.
Exactly.
That's what I go on my mind. I'm thinking, sketchy. There could be an issue. We don't see it, but there's enough there to make me hesitant. Yeah, I agree with you. Do you do work for people's private websites also?
Yeah, that's like, we are like in the process of building up a full like a template system to just market more on websites. But yeah, we have a full-time web designer. We have another freelance web guy, and we built our own website, the Global PLS, and now we've kind of taken on employees to help us do, you know, bigger and better things.
Well, and you know, and we should get into that, because you photography, design, listing, copy, and video. So you really are offering the full gamut, and that's in addition to the web services that's coming, right?
Yeah, and initially you asked, like, who works with us? Well, a lot of people like working with us because they don't have to go to, like, a designer and then to a printer and then...
Because you lose something in the translation between the two of them. Many times.
Without a doubt, because, and again, like, you, and someone who's not familiar with, like, what they're looking for is, you know, they can go to the designer, I want this, and then they take it to the printer, and the printer goes, well, that's not going to print right, because it doesn't, you know, even though it's on a template, you're like, you have this gradient here that's going to look funny against this color here, and especially how the box gets folded, so you have to really understand, like, what the final, you know, the goal is to sell a product, not to make a great design. And yeah, I mean, a lot of times you need good design. I mean, good design helps sell the product, but the goal is to really just make money for our clients so they'll buy more product and come back to us, and we can keep, you know, catch 22, nice circle.
Well, let's answer a couple issues there, because I want to make sure people understand. So you know Andy's private label products.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, a few of them.
Okay. Are you selling them on your own?
No.
Because he'll never get another dime from him, and he'll badmouth you from here to Timbuktu, right? So take away the fear that these guys sell on Amazon and they're going to steal your product and all that kind of jazz. That's not the way it works. You have to have some level of trust, and they have a contract that would protect you. But those things. What about others
I
are
also,
going to figure
it's
out?
It's also, too, just a viewpoint. Like, I mean, I know people are skeptical, but, like, I've been running my own business for 15 years. If someone came in and just, like, kicked my feet out from under me and I wasn't able to, like, pay my mortgage, you know, for my family or, like, provide for them, like, you know, I mean, I understand this is Amazon and there's competition, but, like, this is some, you know, when someone comes to me with their product, I know where they're coming from. This is, like, their dream to escape their job, or this is, you know, like, their kid's college fund, or, like, you know, even extra money that they worked hard at and they want to, like, create something in this world, and you know, to like sit there and like take that out from under them, like, to me, it's just it's a foreign concept. I wouldn't even, you know what, I applaud when someone comes to me with a great product. I go, man, that's a great idea. I wish I thought of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. You wish them well, because you know, quite frankly, their success is your success, right? I mean, the reason you're having this conversation with me is because Andy said to me, "Hey, Steven, you ought to talk to Michael because he's done a great job for me and I've seen it over time. So your reputation is what is going to get you more business, period.
Yeah, I've honestly turned work away. I mean, just like people come to me with this product and I look at it and I go, listen, this is going to be nothing but trouble. Like I even tell like a few people, I said, I don't think you're going to make money on this one. You know, like I go, what's your buy cost? And again, I'm by no means an expert, but I know enough, you know, when someone new or newer comes to me, you know, with like a you know, product that's going to land for $5.
Another was silicone spatula, yeah. Right? Everybody did the silicone spatula for a while there, right?
Yeah, the garlic press, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah, the garlic press. Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, it's like they come to me and I'm just like, and I look at them, I'm like this really isn't going to, you know, make money. I don't want to take, I mean, it's twofold. One is I don't want to take your money that's, you know, you're probably not going to make it back. And again, I'm not always 100% right. And some people just go ahead and say, I still want everything. I believe in it. And I said, fine, that's great. I just couldn't in clear conscience just go, okay, well, just give me, like, we're going to do 20 photos, you know, and you're going to spend $1,500, you know.
Well, let me ask you this question because this has popped into my mind. So I have access to a product and it's selling so-so. The rank is okay. But it's really a good product, and it should be selling more. And I'm going to have continuous access to it. Is it worth me taking a chance and investing in it and spending the money to get the photography right, to get the listing improved, to see if I can improve that rank? Even though I don't own the product, but I have access to a long-term quantity of it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if there is a similar product out there that's doing good sales, then there's no reason why yours can't be. You know,
okay, so that's the rule of thumb. So if let's just say we're selling these coffee cups, we would check similar coffee cups, and we see that they're selling really well. This one's not yet. It's everything about it says it should be. Then you would suggest investing in, spending some money getting it right, and fixing the listing.
And there's also the other side of the coin where people. I mean, you really need to know your niche. You know, like. Because if you have access to this knowledge that other people don't, you know, like some product that you know like has a great turnover in the real world and people are looking for it and it's not online, you know, it could be either extreme. It could be that, you know, well, you see it's already selling really well on Amazon, or like you know that outside of Amazon it's selling great and you think people will get it because it's not on Amazon. You know, you're the leader. You know, you would come in first.
Okay. And that's a great rule of thumb. So if you see a large demand in your local market for this product and you think it would transfer well, that might be a great opportunity to bring it to market.
Yeah, I just want to say one of the big issues I think most people have with failure is that they don't know their market well enough. Is that they think, you know, it's like, oh, this is a cool idea, you know, but like they're just kind of coming into this like emerging market or like, you know, they have a friend in that market and they kind of know about it. But, like, if you were in, like, the spatula market, right, you would know that, like this is just a boring product and it's already been done a million times and you're not going to make money. But someone, like, seeing the spatula for the first time, you know, it's like, oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, look at those slots.
Yeah.
Look at the way the eggs breathe as they go up and slide down the shaft.
Yeah, exactly. It's
right there. It's a romantic thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is perfectly leading us into your book. So tell me, you wrote a book.
Yeah, actually, it was I was at Sam's conference, the ACE conference, I think a half an ago, and I was just like in between speaking.
Wait, was it my inspiring speech that made it happen?
Of course. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So it was right in between, I think, I can't remember. It was early in the morning between the speakers, and, you know, I just flipped on Facebook to see what was going on, and I saw Brianna Moller-Green wrote something about, like, outsourcing or dealing with a situation. And I just messaged her, and I said, well, hey, listen, I have a whole, like, system and contracts, because we're kind of in similar businesses. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if you want them, you know, I'll just send them to you, because they're pretty, you know, we have, like, specific contracts with our freelancers we work with and our full-time employees, and they're, I mean, like, we don't take freelancers without, like, their country's Social Security identification card and, you know, everything, make sure they're completely legit and, you know, legal. That way, for audit purposes, we have everything documented. But then the next message, you know, ideas never stop in my head. They literally, if anyone knows me listening to this, that, you know, they just, I'll just spit out like a million ideas, like whether they're good or bad, but they just don't stop.
Oh man, you and her, because that's her full time job too, is coming up with ideas.
Yeah, so I went to her. I said, you know, we should write a book. I was like, we should just write a book on dealing with this. And she was like, that's awesome. I said, okay, let's do it. And then I just talked to, you know, Chris, my partner. I said we're going to do this. We're going to write a book. I was like, there's just a need for it with the merch market. Like, people don't know how to work with designers or how to work with outsourced staff. It's just, it's foreign to them. There's, you know, what happens is,
it's intimidating.
Yeah, because what happens is you have people speaking two different languages who think they speak the same language. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, so you have designers who speak art, and you have, you know, the rest of the population who think they know what they want. And on top of that, most of the designers they're hiring speak English as a second language, you know, because they're not paying, like, top design firms. They're going on Fiverr or, you know, all the other design sites for, like, $5. And they're wondering why, like, getting frustrated, not getting the designs they want. They're, you know, not getting poor designs. And it just – and actually it just wastes more time. Like, the time they waste doing all this is, like, you know, money that is completely wasted, because they could have been doing something else, making more money in the process.
So you guys decide we're both way too busy to do anything else, but we're going to write this book. And I mean, it's just incredible, because she is like, I mean, she's like a superstar in everything that she does. I mean, she's conquering merch by Amazon right now. I mean, just conquering it. She's not doing well in it. She has to conquer it. It seems like that every time she goes into something, she conquers it. So how involved in the book was she?
She was pretty involved. Like, so I had, what I pretty much had the system of working with clients and designers, and, you know, again, I'm not, my technical writing skills have gotten a lot better. You can ask Chris, but, like, you know, to me, I just write ideas down, right? And then Chris will go in and edit them and make them look, like, beautiful. You know, like, clean up the spelling and the grammar and everything. And then I said, you know, Brianna, I think you would be a great part, because you have real-world example and experience with this. You know, so, like, what we ended up doing is, like, we wrote the system and the templates and everything, and then we have Brianna come in at the end of, like, every chapter, like, explaining situations she's dealt with and how they could have been better, and how, you know, taking the information from the chapter, like, and applying it to the situation.
Yeah, and actually applying it into real world where she has.
Yeah, and, like, we've, you know, and again, we don't do anything, like, halfway, like, especially Chris. Like, he is, like, you know, I mean, Chris, my partner, is a guy, when he got a new TV, he had, like, a professional audio-video guy who does, like, you know, symphony halls and stuff come to his house to calibrate his television and sound, you know, his color. You know, like, he's, like, 100% all the way. So we started writing it, and then, you know, I would write, and he would go, well, listen, this is half a thought. You need to finish it. You need to complete it. And then we'd be like, okay, well, maybe it would help people if we had a template. So we, like... So it's actually, in the book, it's funny, it's because for designing the book cover, we actually have a whole chapter on how we designed the book cover, and we literally just took our conversations with our in-house designer, you know, and cleaned up the text and copy of it. So we wrote one chapter as an example of, you know, how a logo gets created from start to finish, and we literally, like...
Well, let's walk through the chapter, so you got to outline them for me, because I really want to understand, you know, the book hasn't come out. When's the book coming out?
Probably in a, when this launches, I believe this is
okay.
The
so
first notice.
This first notice it's coming out. So over the next week or two, you're going to start pumping out, you know, this kind of content. Let's talk about what's going to be in it. So first chapter, you're focusing on logo.
So no, completely. That's not even okay. So first chapter, we go into a very rudimentary basics of design, which I was kind of speaking about earlier, about, like, the frown and the shapes and fonts and, you know, real basic. And again, I specifically did it very basic and simple, so someone could have just enough of an understanding to, like, get what they want, but without, like...
Well, they could apply that in their eBay business, for example, right? These messages that you're talking about here, they apply in other marketplaces, you know, and maybe you wouldn't use a professional, but these concepts apply in other places. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like real basic design theory, and then from there we move into basic IP.
Okay.
You know, because my dad's actually a patent attorney, so I have a whole – he gives me all the, anytime I have a question, I get to make a phone call.
Nice.
You know, so like we go into basic IP, specifically how it applies to like design and logos, you know, about making sure stuff's not copyrighted and fonts are commercially available. And then from there, we move into chapter 3 about how to find the right designer. You know, like way, yeah, it's a whole system of like how to communicate to a designer, how to vet them to make sure their work is what you're looking for. After that, chapter 4 is brainstorming your ideas. So we help someone who's reading this really solidify what they're looking for. And again, there's templates and formulas. So,
well, yeah, explain a little bit that. So what does that mean? So I have an idea for this amazing coffee mug and I want to brainstorm it. Does that mean that I'm talking to people who would likely buy it and trying to get better enhancements, or what are they looking for? Why do they buy a particular mug over another? Explain a little bit there.
Yes and no. I mean, that's obviously more in-depth research than we go into. And you know, obviously the better you know the market, the better your product's going to sell. But, like, we go into, like, kind of writing a basic mission statement, figuring out, like, what you want your product or service or logo to convey, and how to, like, make, you know, how to write up something so that a designer can pick this up and go, okay, that's exactly, I know what they want. I can translate this into a graphic interface.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
And chapter 5 is actually kind of like a piggyback on that, where it's like you're taking all the brainstorming ideas and all the research and finding what you want and then literally translating that to a designer. And that's like templates, like, dear designer. I mean, there's a whole chapter, but there's a lot of templates included where it goes, dear designer, this is my company, you know, insert mission statement. I'm looking for a logo that, you know, or it says, like, my product does this, and then you include 3 or 4 sentences that you wrote up previously. And I'm thinking that my product should look like this or feel this, and here are the images and the adjectives. So there's a whole, like, template that really makes it idiot-proof for a designer
Well, you're telling them what they need to know, the important stuff. You're giving them the meat and potatoes right up front, so you don't have to dilly-dally. They need this, and you're making sure that they have it because you're saying, Steve, when you want a designer to do this, you need to give them these pieces of information specifically. So that's pretty cool. So it's really a way that I don't have to do as much vetting because, you know, once I establish that relationship and I can just keep feeding them, here's the key, I don't know what you would, not a KPIs, but whatever the key metrics that we need for that, you're giving that and you just keep pounding that out. Love it.
Yeah,
and
then we go further into revising. Chapter 6 is all about doing revisions and, like, how to communicate. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than when someone comes to you and goes, yeah, that sucks, or, like, I don't like it. You know, like, that doesn't help me. As a designer, what don't you like? Like, was I off on the colors? Was I off on the shapes? Like, am I missing the message? You know, what?
Right. Not all of it's wrong, right? I'm sure not all of it's wrong.
Yeah.
So let's identify what is it. Yeah, okay.
And then chapter 7 goes into when you aren't getting what you paid for, which, you know, is probably a lot of situations out there, you know, without reading this book, is that, you know, you expect the designer to be a mind reader and they're not communicating. And it goes into, like, you know, how to communicate to a designer who's not communicating with you, who's dropping the design, how to fire a designer, like, and again, these are all templates and situations of, like, how to deal with this.
And the fact that you're making it easy, because, again, how do I communicate that you're not replying to me with what I'm trying to convey to you, right? I mean, obviously there's a communication gap. I can't do that. And so you're saying, here's how you communicate with them.
Yeah,
okay,
so,
cool.
And again, everything we do is, like, almost very empirical, because it's like you're giving the designer going, listen, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. If you have an issue with X, Y, or Z, then you should let me know ahead of time, rather than giving me a crappy design. And this is, again, where we kind of shine, you know, where for Fiverr and lower-end designers can't, because when you're doing a logo design for $5 or $10, there's no communication. You just don't, as a designer, even if you're overseas, you just do not have that time to sit there and go, well, you gave me a picture of this, but you really told me this, and, you know, like, that 20 minutes of communication is like boom, you know, they're already at negative dollars on the job because they only charge $5.
Right. That's funny. I mean, you know, I just think about that people are doing that for $5, and you're right. I mean, if they have to spend half a second thinking about it, they're out, right? They're out of money.
And again, there's no system in place either. They're not saying, okay, we'll fill out this form for me. People are just like, I want a logo. It looks like that, but make it green, you know? And then they'll do it, and they'll be like, well, that's not the logo I wanted. I'm doing this product, you know? Like,
because most people, right, and tell me if I'm correct in this, what they originally envision is not what comes out. It's a few iterations, correct?
Oh, please, yeah. Like, my designer, like, when we do logos, like, so client will give me what they want, and I will translate that to the designer. That's really where I shine, because I know what the client's kind of thinking, I know what the designer's thinking, and I merge these. And then, just so people understand, is, like, my designer will come back to me with, like, 8 to 10 comps, right? Out of those 8 to 10 comps, I pick maybe 3 or 4, and then I ask them for changes prior to even showing it to the client. You know, and that's
of the 3 or 4.
Yeah, and that's just around one version, right? So, like, when they're dealing with, like, designers without middlemen, and I'm not saying all designers are bad at all. You know, you can, there are rock stars out there that can do this and do it great. But, you know, when you're most of the time, the designer is, like, dealing with my designer at step one, is that they're just pumping 3 of them out, giving them to you. And you don't know if you're getting it or not. Like, it goes through probably, like, you know, 2 to 3 revisions. You know, the designer will come to me. I'll look it over. I'll say, I think you need to change 1, 2, and 3. They'll come back to me again. Maybe I'll make one more revision. And then I'll give it to the client and go, here are 3 logos. You know, what do you think? Do you want anything done? And honestly, the past 2 logos we've actually nailed on the first round.
Oh, that's cool.
You know,
it's nailed for the client. Not behind the scenes,
no, not
right?
Behind the scenes,
as you said, there are a whole bunch of iterations, and they get to see it. But as you're saying, you're making sure that designer is interpreting the same way that you interpreted that client's needs, right? If there's a disparity, it's like, whoa, you know. Do you go back to the client then and say, wait, Steve, here's what you were saying. What could you explain this a little more? Does that happen sometimes?
Well, I won't touch a design if there's a question. So, like, they'll give me the form back and say, well, these are my 3 adjectives that I want to describe the product, and these are my 3 images. And if something doesn't match, you know, I immediately go, like, something's wrong here. Because what happens is it just, you're just wasting everyone's time.
Well, no, what I was thinking was you then send it off to the designer, and when they give you 3 iterations of that back, you sit back and say, ooh, that's not what I see. Have you had to go back to the client? That's what I meant by that.
Oh, no, never. Because, okay. I mean, I'm not trying to
you
sound
feel like
pompous.
You're in sync. You're in sync with the customer. You knew what they wanted. If it isn't it, you're sending it back on your own. Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, again, my designer, you know, I think we had one logo. It was like I did it for a friend, and it was just like a last minute thing. I just said, listen, I got my designer on staff. I'll do something. And again, we didn't do the adjectives. We didn't do any of the stuff, and we just was never able to nail it. And I think it was just a certain design style she wasn't used to, you know,
okay.
And I didn't give clear enough references and examples. And again, everything didn't really work out, and it wasn't like a big deal because it was just like a last minute thing, and the company name ended up changing anyway. But like, it didn't work out because we didn't do the process.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. So continue on in the book.
So yeah, chapter 8, we take literally chapter 1 through 7, and we make a fictitious product, and like literally I'm Joe Schmo, and I work 40 hours a week. Like I create a fake bio for a person. I create a fake product for a person, you know, of like what's in their head, what's their mentality, how are they going to communicate to a designer? How do they communicate with changes and revisions, you know, to get what they were looking for? So like, that's a whole chapter on like a real world example of like, how a product or how a logo gets designed.
So it takes you all the way from the beginning to the end, which is, I think, so important, because if you miss a step, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, definitely.
Love it. All right, so.
And then chapter 9 was, we literally took the book cover, and then, like, we just took the whole conversations of us going back and forth with the designer. And we just made it like a nicely formatted chapter of like how we speak with our designer, how she comes back to us and changes. And it's funny because it's, you know, like, I know I wrote the whole book about a system, but like, that's just how I guess it's ingrained in my head. And it's how I work. So like, when you go back and read it, I'm kind of like just doing the system, you know, like the first thing was, listen, we're doing this book. I don't really know what I want, but, you know, I went and showed her examples. Like, I needed the example of, like, a serious book, an artsy book. I kind of like this concept with, like, these CMYK printing colors, you know. So I said, like, just you know, these are examples of other book covers I like. Just go to town. And because the first round of design is always to try and narrow down the concept, and then everything else, once you get the concept down, you can just it's easy to finalize it after that.
I, you know, again, as I'm sitting here listening to you describe it, without having the context of all that, it is complicated. It's really complicated.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I can imagine someone who's not used to doing, you know, like, I understand art, so I'm, you know, like, when we worked very well together because I could speak design to her. I could say, well, I like this cover, I like the font of it because it's very, like, Art Deco and how the letters are shaped. I mean, I'm like a... I get really nutty when it comes to fonts, because to me, like, a font is the same thing I was saying before. Every element conveys a shape, right? So if your font has, like, we go into two other logo examples in the book, like NBC and AT&T, and so, like, I think GE as well. So when you dissect the fonts, if you really go into, like, dissecting fonts, you could see that each font is made up of just shapes, right? And each shape has a message to it. You know, is it soft? Are the edges hard? Are they a little rounded, which gives it a softer feel? Like, how do the letters fit together? Is it more like handwritten and quirky? You know, and that's an extension of the logo is the font. And again, I'm just speaking with a designer, I get very specific. I said, I like this element here. This little element here really represents what I'm trying to convey. Can you kind of explode that element and give it your own feel to it?
Now, you offer those same services. This is basically how you're able to give that service. That's really what your book describes, right, from start to finish.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just they, you know, I pretty much translate for them to the designer so they don't have to, you know, deal with the hassle. You know, what happens is we'll give them round one back, and they'll go, okay, well, I like logo one, because we'll do three to four different variations. And then, you know, they'll say, well, could we see this little element changed or that? And then, boom, and then we start doing color changes and, you know, whatever else, and I start translating again for the client. But ever since we've really gotten down with the system, the last two logos were, like, round one they were chosen, you know.
And you just get better at it, right? I mean, clearly, it's just over time you're getting better and better and better, right? Is it starting to feel like a groove almost?
Yeah, like, especially with the systems and the listing, like, the listing creation, too, is down. Like, we have, you know, research phase, writing phase, edit phase, you know, keyword phase. So it's like, it just goes right through, like, an entire chain of, like, three or four different people when we're doing listings, you know. We get someone, we get all the research done, then we validate the research. The research gets validated, then we move into the writing phase. So the basic, you know, writing, and the first draft is just usually awful because it's not done by, like, a key writer. But by not having it done by a key writer, it's actually kind of helpful because that our senior writer, a more experienced writer, doesn't have to use their brain power to, like, sit there and come up with, like, complete creativity. They can work in edit mode. They can go, okay, well, this concept doesn't work. This chapter doesn't work. This concept or this sentence doesn't work. I could just flip it around and make it better. And then you get this beautiful listing that's, like, keyword rich and, you know, titles enhanced and the bullet points enhanced. And it's really compelling and it's really solid copy that makes sense.
Well, it sounds to me, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to you, my mind wanders and it says, I can see this, the consistency is really the key to this. You're consistently asking for the same thing in the same format with the same parameters. Boom, you're going to get similar results, right? And so you just keep that format. You can just, that's how you scale. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you. I'm thinking, how does somebody handle? Boom, that's how. Because you answer all the questions. You've given them the guidance. You're saying, here's the box I want you to play in. Here's what I'm expecting. Boom, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a 30-page manual on creating listings. I have my staff read. You know, like, I'm not even kidding. It's a 30-page document. I'm like, and I write it like it's to an infant. I go, this is the step one. You do this. This is what you look for. You don't want to do this. This is poor, you know. And then I have, like, my writers have their own section, and the research has their own section, and then I have a whole section for, like, merch, you know, which we do on our own. But, again, Brianna's the merch lady. It's more for our own internal merch stuff. But
that's why you're getting consistent results, right? Because if you make a change to the manual because you found something better, a way to do whatever, you keep it in one location, everybody's on the same page, and boom, it immediately starts. The next product you launch, it's immediately in that next mode.
Yeah, and
I think that's consistent.
And also, what people really don't realize is how difficult it is to find good employees. Like, I mean, our process, I've probably interviewed 50 to 100 writers, you know, before. And that's typically, in all my businesses, I've always found is typically like only a 1 or 2%. You need to go through 100 people to find that one shining star, you know, and it takes a lot of time. And that's part of our service, too, is you're not dealing with, like, you know, we're not just pulling some, like, random designer or web guy out that, like, oh, I think he can kind of do this, you know. That's what his portfolio looks like. Well, you know, there's a wake-up call. Their portfolio is not how they work most of the time, you know. I mean, I put ads on for, like, high-quality English technical writers, and the emails that come back to me aren't even, you know, qualified. Even though their portfolios and their resumes look great, you know, they still can't do it.
Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so books launches this week, really going to be out next week, heavy. So the book is $15. You can buy it on your website. Is that where you buy it? Is it on Amazon?
It's going to be on Gumroad and Amazon. And then our services, we're setting up everything should be ready by the time the launch goes, but we're setting up an entire, like, shopping cart system for all our services with our web guy. So you can just, if you need, you know, the logo or the listings or any of that stuff, you can just, rather than contacting us directly, even though, you know, we're welcome too, it's all set up right there.
Like a la carte. And Global Services, I'll have a link for that. I'll have a link for the book, globalpls.com. The website for the book is what?
Outsourcing.design.
Okay, so again, it's not .com. It's not outsourcingdesign.com. It's outsourcing.design, which I think is very clever, and I know that's the way the world is going. And then you're out on Facebook. Is it okay if I put your Facebook contact out here so if people have a question they can message you?
Yeah, honestly, 90% of my, like, work is through Facebook Messenger.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know we're in between both very busy. We've been trying to get together because we both have so much going on. And I appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate you taking the time to spend to explain it so well, because I don't think people understand. I think they do now, really, the amount of effort. And here's the key. Your competitors, Andy, is using these services, hence the reason he's knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what you got to realize, is that your competitors are doing this. You should be too. Mike, I wish you nothing but success. I can't wait to hear how well you're doing, how well the book goes for you. I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for having us.
Take care.
Bye.
Man, that was a great interview. You know, I was very fortunate. Michael had sent me a copy of his book after I did the interview, and I read it already, and it blew me away. If you are interested in selling on merch, this is a must-have, unless you're a designer, and then you don't need to hire a designer. But all the language, the communication, you know, when you read what Brianna Moeller Green, who's crushing it on merch, in addition to everything else she's crushing, she talks about where she ran into trouble. One sentence could have saved her days worth of communication. And so those examples, he did a great job with. I mean, I'm really impressed. Again, if you're into merch and design, this is a great tool. $15 to get an education. Love it, love it, love it. Take care. ecommercemomentum.com.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.